Estate Talk Podcast, Season 2, with Robert Keilman and Joshua Britt.
That's correct.
Featuring topics about real estate nobody is talking about.
You need your expertise on it.
The Real Estate Talk Podcast starts now.
All right, Real Estate Talk Podcast, Season 2, Episode... Who even cares anymore? We got a lot of episodes now. About to bring you some updates on the NAR, National Association of Realtors, that Sitzer Burnett case. It looks like, well, the last holdout, the last Spartan that was trying to not settle, like all the other real estate companies that bent the knee to the, to settle the lawsuit, I guess. So they decided they're going to settle $250 million. My gosh. All right. But they're going to do it. But you know what? It's not over for them just yet.
Nope.
Looks like they're going to get sued by the buyers this time, not the sellers. So stay tuned as we get into this. Hey, and welcome back to another Real Estate Talk Podcast. Rob Keilman.
I'm Joshua Britt.
All right. We're going to go ahead and give you guys some updates into the Sitzer Burnett versus NAR lawsuit. We've been covering this for a while and giving you guys some updates as to what's been going on with that. And last time we gave you guys an update, everybody bent the knee and settled. All these real estate companies said, enough. Take millions and we'll close up shop or we'll redo business somehow. NAR, the National Association of Realtors, was—I don't know if it still is—the nation's largest trade organization.
Yeah, I think it still is, but maybe they're losing ground to some others, some unions or something, just with the lack of, you know, the number of agents that are leaving the business.
Yeah, agents leaving the business. Not only that, there's other firms that are now saying that National Association of Realtor membership is
not required.
You know, and that's great because I'm not a member, you're not a member, yeah. And we didn't like all those rules and stuff that they did anyway. But that besides the point, it looks like the last holdout, which was Berkshire Hathaway. It looks like they were going to fight it all the way, but at some point they saw the writing on the wall and they just realized, enough's enough. We're going to go ahead and settle to the tune of $250 million. And, but unfortunately it doesn't look like they're out of the woods just yet. And it looks like, well, the Sitzer Burnett was a class action lawsuit where a lot of home sellers got together with attorneys and sued the NAR for the commissions, which they were saying that commissions were inflating home prices. Also, it was almost like not a, I guess, a choice to pay, mm-hmm. where their agents didn't leave them any choice to pay a buyer agent commission. And it looks like now that the sellers got all their settled, it looks like now the buyers are saying, well, hey, wait a minute. If you proved that, that you automatically inflated home prices because of commissions, we paid for that, so we're going to sue too. So it looks like Berkshire Hathaway is going to get sued. So,
yeah, but I mean, this is not just Berkshire. They're just the first ones who are being attacked. And it really, I think, was because they were holding out so long that they just became like an easy target. They're the last one standing, and they became an easy target for this lawsuit. But I fully believe that this lawsuit is going to expand much further because everything that is being alleged against Berkshire, mm-hmm. you can apply that to any other name in the industry that you want.
So one of the first articles to news agencies to break that was Reuters, mm-hmm. or Reuters, depending upon how you pronounce it. It was a real estate brokerage unit of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, because Warren Buffett is head of the main Berkshire Hathaway. This is Home Services, the real estate company, is facing a new proposed class action lawsuit accusing it of charging commissions that artificially inflated the cost of buying a home in the United States. The lawsuit against Home Services of America was filed on behalf of home buyers in Miami federal court on Monday, days after the company said it would pay $250 million to resolve nationwide claims from home sellers challenging the same commission. U.S. home sellers typically pay for the services of a buyer agent in order to get a home included on a multiple listing service. The platforms where most homes in the United States are bought and sold, a commission as high as 6% in the price of a home is then split between the buyer and the seller's agent. Home sellers have accused the home services and other large U.S. real estate brokerages in several lawsuits of using the requirement to drive up commissions as part of an antitrust conspiracy. And the industry's trade group, National Association of Realtors. That's the first time I heard it as a conspiracy.
I think it's always been suggested that it was a conspiracy. They used the word collusion.
Oh, okay.
In the first lawsuit, which, you know, we argued against the fact that we thought it was collusion. However, the more that I think about this and the more that I see how things play out, it may be... There may be some collusion, but on a very smaller level than what was originally thought.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. After all this headache of, I need to drink a cup of coffee. And speaking of which, this episode is sponsored by Closer Coffee Company. Check out some of the newest roasts like the Phoenix Blend, the Boss, and the Top Producer Grind. Roasted to order. Coffee for closers by closers. Fuel your hustle at closercoffeeco.com. That's closercoffeeco.com. Anyway, continue. We got to get the sponsor plug in there.
Yeah, so in this lawsuit, it says that Home Services America, as part of the National Association of Realtors, engaged in practices that kept real estate commissions artificially high, reducing price competition and steering home buyers towards properties offering higher commissions to buyer agents. I think that under certain circumstances, there are real estate agents that will say, hey, in an environment where I don't have to take a buyer to go look at a house for, say, a 1% commission, they're not going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And if 99% of all of the commissions are at 3%, then they probably wouldn't just take that person to that 1%. Or even if they did, and this is the part that's even harder to prove, even if they did take it to, they took a client to a 1% listing, there's a higher probability than not than that they just didn't sell that house like they would a house that was a 3% commission.
You know, I think that this do you think there's going to be an end to these lawsuits? Because after the buyers do it, they're going to get awarded some. I think all these big real estate companies are going to end up losing their asses, merging or something like that.
Yeah. So remember, like many months ago, probably about 6 months ago now, yeah, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
And you were very adamant that it would never end. And I was like, well, at some point, someone has to end this.
Yeah.
Because you can literally keep going lawsuit for lawsuit for lawsuit for lawsuit. I'll give you one thing, right? Here was one of the stats that I looked at, right?
Yeah.
In the first quarter, right here in Hampton Roads, Berkshire Hathaway sold $597,644,067 worth of real estate.
You know, we're not a huge market, by the
way.
We're
not a huge market.
Yeah. Maybe medium at best.
And this was just one company that did that much in sales. It was higher than the next three companies combined together.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at the... Home Services of America, you know, looks like they're facts here. It looks like Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, based in Irvine, California, remains one of the nation's fastest growing real estate brokerages. It was it looks like it was founded or franchised in 2012, rather. Has 45,000 agents and 1,350 offices nationwide.
Yeah,
it's a huge company, man.
Yeah, so when you look at, you know, we talked about they settled for $250 million. Mm-hmm. The commissions that they made off of just the first quarter of sales in Hampton Roads, if all things being equal at 3%, was $18 million.
Mm.
So $250 million is almost a drop in the bucket to these guys.
Yeah, it was like more of an annoyance payment. Like, yes, get out of here.
Here, go away.
Get out of here. Just go away.
It's like hush money.
Yeah. But now with the buyers coming in now, I guess the what's the lawsuit's name? Do you have the lawsuit's name? It's
James
Lutz versus Home
Lutz.
Okay, yeah, James Lutz versus the Home Services. We had this big old, what do you call this? A docket thing?
Is the actual court filings.
Okay,
that is literally the.
Yeah, I don't know the names of these legal terms of these paperworks and stuff. So
that's the actual case file. That's exactly what was filed in the claims and the allegations that were made against the company. Stating, and the other thing was it says that it argued, the lawsuit argues that these practices led to inflated home prices as higher commissions were incorporated into the sales price. Now, some time ago, we had this discussion, and I said it was almost stupid for the Sitzer Burnett case because they claimed that the seller had to pay the commissions. But I will argue that the buyer always pays the commissions because every time
it's the buyer's loan that pays everything.
It's the buyer's loan that pays the commissions. And just as this lawsuit, which I think this lawsuit has much more merit to it than the Sitzer Burnett from a professional opinion of somebody in the industry. And I think they're 100% going to lose this one, so they better get ready to settle this one also. but it says that by incorporating the commissions into the sales price, they caused home buyers to bear the cost of what was misleading representation to them as free buyer agent services.
Yeah, I heard that expression before. They would somebody. I never said it was free.
No,
I just
never said it was free.
No, because. Whatever commission was offered, it was 2.5, 2, 3, you know, just I take it, you know, whatever it was being offered. It's like I was going to make a reference to a movie line, but I don't think many people seen this movie. It was called Altered Carbon. You know, the envoys take what's offered, you know, essentially. Nobody ever seen that movie, probably. So
somebody out there watching, drop a comment.
Let us know if you watched that movie. Also, attorneys, drop a comment below because we want to hear your take on this, especially if you guys are in business or real estate law. I'm really curious where you guys see what's going here and more the technical, like as far as like precedence is set and what further lawsuits can come up from this, because I'm not sure where it ends. Like I was saying before, so. Where, because okay, if they get the NAR, they get all the major brokerages, they're gonna go after the small ones, or is it not worth it at that point?
Who knows? Look, there's at somewhere at some level, someone's gonna have to say, hey, like all of these cases are settled underneath X, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways that this can go underneath so many different avenues. You can literally do a few years worth of court cases over this situation right here. Whether it's the seller side or whether it's the buyer side, I think that, you know, there were a lot of people who just were not clear in how everything happened. And I think that's really what the lawsuits will help to bring about is more transparency in how the whole process happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was the reason why you and I, at least for me, I'll speak for me, is not a part of the NARs because it always felt like it was some type of secret society, like a sorority, if you will. And it was the rules and policies always felt like you had to be real, like, secretive, and you were being kind of sneaky about things. But you were saying you held yourself to a higher standard at the same time.
Yeah. Like, so the NAR, to be a real – so everybody out here that doesn't understand the difference between real estate agent and realtor, I'll try to do a quick synopsis of it. If you call yourself realtor, you are a member of the National Association of Realtors, meaning you're a paying member. There's a list of clear corporate guideline. I don't know the name of it.
Rules.
Essentially, you're going to promise, declare, and swear. And if you're going to be a member, you're going to abide by these rules. If you break these rules, you can get suspended, get fined, I don't know, expelled. I don't know, kicked out. I don't know. But we never were with firms that tried to make you, because all the things that I read their rules, their ethics, code of ethics or whatever, it's similar to what we had to learn anyway when we were coming
exactly.
through. Maybe it was their influence that had our training when we become realtors or not. I assume, or real estate agents. Jesus, I wanted to say that. Anyway, it's almost like certain MLSs also across the country, which kind of sucked because, like, for example, North Carolina. What I heard, I'm not a North Carolina agent because I heard that in order to become a North Carolina agent and to use that MLS, you had to be a realtor.
Correct.
That is correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so that's why
and it's like that through license. Many, many states and areas throughout the United States. We just happen to be in kind of like the Wild West of real estate, and where it's like, hey, you know, we ended the year 23 with 678 real estate brokerages.
I wonder how many it's going to have after the fact.
I can tell you after the first quarter, there's only 425 that actually did one sale.
Oh my goodness.
It's on a downward spiral.
So let's speculate something. Now we have the new lawsuit come in, you know, from the buyer side of the area. And the sellers got their days in court, against the NAR and whatnot. Let's speculate going forward. What do we think is going to happen now? So we're making it harder for real estate agents to do our jobs because how are we going to get paid? Let's be honest. It's going to be a lot harder to get paid. So we go to a buyer and we say, all right, now you have to pay the buyer agent commission. This is how much we're going to charge, whether it be 2 or 3%, whatever it is, or a flat fee. We negotiate that with a buyer and we put that into an agreement. Before we start showing homes or start executing ministerial tasks and stuff on their behalf. And there's also, and they might say, well, I can't, you know, pay your commission because I have, I'm trying to buy a $400,000 house. Let's use a $400,000 house, for example. I'm using an FHA loan, which means I have to put 3.5% down. That's $14,000 cash. You have to have in your bank account that you have to put down on this house. Now, you have closing costs. That's all the lender fees and all the recording fees and all this other stuff.
Homeowners insurance, taxes. Don't forget taxes.
Yeah, don't forget taxes. Definitely don't forget taxes. Title insurance or whatever it is that you have to, you know, whatever's in your closing points, whatever it is. Let's just say this can really differ, but let's just say 3%. That was the old way of, you know,
rule of thumb.
Sometimes it's a lot higher, but let's say 3%. Okay, 3% of 400,000 is 12 grand. Okay, now you got 14 grand plus 12 grand in order to close.
$26,000.
Okay, now let's say you got to pay your agent as part of your closing costs. That's another $12,000. So what are we at? $38,000 for a $400,000 buyer. We're not talking about. In many areas of the country, $400,000 is maybe just above the median. So we're looking at $38,000 out of pocket for somebody who can afford a home just above the median. How do we see that playing out with buyers across the United States? Do you think it's going to slow down sales or remain the same?
I think you're going to see an increase in inventory is what's going to happen.
Yeah, a lot more choices out there.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately, again, and we've said this many, many times, this is all the result of just being in a seller's market for way too long.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when we were in a buyer's market, I could get almost anything I wanted.
Oh, yeah, we spoke about HVACs, new sellers. Roofs, yeah, everything.
We could negotiate whatever we wanted the seller to take care of for the buyer.
Yeah.
And back then, sellers were happy to do it mm-hmm. because they just wanted to sell their house. But now when there's constant competition over their house and they're like, oh, man, I got to pay this agent a commission. That was, you know, X more amount of money in my pocket that I could have had if I didn't have to pay that agent a commission.
Yeah.
If I only had to take care of my agent.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is just flawed thinking.
Well, I can give you my example if I just came across recently.
Yeah, tell us about it.
All right, so I had a condo by the water. And a listing, and when I did the listing agreement with the with my client, I did mention to him, hey, look, you can offer a buyer agent commission if you like. It's not mandatory, but would you like to offer something? At first, he said, no, I don't want to offer shit. I said, I would recommend you at least offer something. Again, your choice, but my recommendation is to offer something. You got to give a bounty for the other agents to come. You know, if you have no reward on your wanted dead or alive, then you can't expect a bounty hunter to come and bring you something. Mm-hmm. So I like to call it a bounty, you know, instead of the commission. So he just said, just get like $1,000 or something. So I was like, yeah, okay, $1,000. So I put it on there. House sat. Didn't go anywhere. Reasonably, it should have went quick. But we finally got an offer. We got an offer, and the person was paying their agent commission. So what they ended up doing is knocking down my seller on the price. They asked for closing cost assistance. This is, and you know what? This buyer had the money hard. So he had about $100K in, but my client's been on the market for a long time. So I went back to him, and you know, I talked to him about it, and I said, "Here, we can go and do this. Anytime we counter an offer, there's always risk in it. You know, he does have the money. What do you want to do? He can pay for all this. He can pay for his own closing costs. He can do all this stuff. He's just doing this to see what he can get out of you." He's like, "I don't care at this point. I just need to sell this thing, right? Mm-hmm. I need to get it off my books. I need it gone. So I don't really care that he knocked me down a little bit. And I don't care if he's asking me for a little bit in closing costs." And I was like, "Okay, whatever you like, man. You know."
So what was the amount that they came up short on the offer?
Let's see. It wasn't much, like $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah.
That short of $5,000 right there, did it cover the cost of the commission if the seller would have put 3% on the listing?
That and the closing cost assistance that they asked for back as a concession, yeah, that more than paid for the agent commission plus that $1,000. Yes,
in
definitely.
This situation right here, yeah, the seller lost money by not putting a full commission on this deal.
If he would have put a straight up commission on there, like a real like a 2.5-3% commission,
mm-hmm,
yeah, that would have been gone in the first week. I mean,
Probably had multiple offers.
Yeah, it was in a well positioned area. It was right by the water. You even had a peek of view from the window. I mean, it wasn't like you have a direct look at it, the water, but the Atlantic Ocean, you can look out the side and you can see the Atlantic Ocean from the window. So, I mean, it was great. It was come fully furnished, too. So there's a lot of Bennies there. They could have turned this into an Airbnb. No, not Airbnb. It was a 3-month rental. Short-term rental. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why it couldn't have been gone in the first week.
Yeah.
You know, if with that.
So, essentially, by not offering a buyer agent commission.
He did. $1,000.
Well, by offering $1,000 now let's be honest, right? Let's be honest. $1,000 commission,
yeah,
to a real estate agent who's working the business,
yeah,
every day, and you know, kind of knows where the commission should be at. $1,000 commission offering is like a slap in the face,
almost like a middle finger.
Yeah. So to put that on there. You know, this basically became a situation, and this is the thing that a lot of sellers need to understand, because this is the Pandora box that's been open.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you put me in a situation where my buyer is going to be paying my cost, oh, I got a dang on show I'm worth every penny of it, so I'm coming for you 100%. Like, and I'm coming with a lot of vengeance, and I'm going to take full advantage. And first of all, the $1,000, like you said, is a middle finger. So that right there, when an agent who's experienced, who's been around, who sees that,
yeah,
immediately they're going to be fired up.
Oh yeah, yeah,
they're going to be fired up.
Yeah. So that's one example there, and it's crazy because it's a new environment a little bit. It's always been negotiable. That's the thing. I've always said that this is negotiable. I always would recommend that you offer it. But I don't push it anymore like I had in the past. Because if they would have said, I would have do 1%, I was like, you can do 1%, man, but that's gonna be tough. I would recommend 2.5-3. Again, You're the boss. You let me know what you want to do. But the but this time I put it out a couple times. But as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, that's it. I'm not going to push it out. That's what you're offering. I'm glad you're offering something. Yeah. You know. So then we went from there. But still, buyers came in with blood, dude. And I went back to my seller. Said, here's the strategy. This is what we can do. You know. And I was like, it is a little bit risky though. Every time you counter something, it's risky. This guy's really well qualified. He's almost buying this whole damn thing cash.
Yep.
And he's like, oh no, I don't want to take the risk. He ended up losing a little bit more. Not a lot more, but he did lose more.
I think he lost a lot more.
If he went highest and best, yeah, probably would have got 15,000-20,000 more.
Yeah, he lost so much more by trying to save a few dollars.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. You lose so much more by trying to save a few dollars and saying, oh, I'm gonna only offer this. When you could have had a line of real estate agents outside your door with clients beating down the door trying to get in to sell it, right? Yep. Now, this goes to part of the lawsuits that are on the table where everyone's saying, hey, it's steering. Buyer agents won't bring their clients to your house if you have a paltry $1,000 commission on the listing. Yeah. And, I mean, look, This is human nature for most people, right? You're going to say, it's $1,000. It doesn't clever. And I mean, even with our contracts, the way they are right now, you know, when you get a buyer broker agreement signed, it clearly states that, hey, if the seller is not offering the full commission, you authorize me not to show you those houses.
Right. There is a section now. So,
yeah.
Right now it's in the MLS as to what we can see the commission being offered. But soon, I think as far as June's concerned, it's not going to be in the MLS anymore. So now we don't know what the commission is. It's got to be negotiated. So what's going to end up happening is they're going to have to do a pre-agreement before you even show the house. So for your buyer, if they say, okay, look, this is going to be my fee, 3% on the buyer broker agreement. Mm-hmm. That's the agreement you guys would sign with an agent if you're a buyer looking to buy a house. So now before they even show you homes, that's got to be signed in place. Have you heard it any other way?
All of the details are still coming out.
Right. We're still working out the details.
But this is kind of what the speculation is going to say. We don't know if it's going to say the exact commission has to be negotiated up front because now it is part of the actual purchase agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, are you negotiating the commission now outside of the purchase agreement? So there's some legalities there that I'm sure the attorneys are working out.
Yeah, we're still all trying to figure all this out. It's still kind of...
But the good thing, though, is 2 points here real quick. The buyer-broker agreement, I don't see it changing.
Yeah.
If in the buyer-broker agreement, the buyer says, hey, I don't want you to show me any houses where the seller's not paying my commission, that check mark is in that box.
Yeah.
And now I come to you, hey, Robert, I got a client that wants to see your house.
Okay.
Can we show it, Tuesday at 5 p.m.?
Sure.
Here goes my showing request with my commissions on it. And you come back and say, oh.
Sorry, the seller's not offering a commission.
Oh, okay, no worries. We're leaving. We're no longer interested in seeing the house.
Right, because in that agreement, there is a section where the buyer can direct you as the agent not to show them any properties that doesn't pay you that commission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if you come back and say, oh, no, we're only going to offer, a $1,000 commission.
Here's
$1,000. Oh, thank you. We're not going to show it. But I think it's good because, and I'm sure there'll be another lawsuit about it because it will be like, oh, this is just a circumvention of the system, right? Because that's what the buyer broker agreement does. It essentially circumvents this policy.
But
right?
this is buyer's choice.
I understand that.
It's either... Yes, I will pay, show me any house, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll pay your commission and give a shit.
Yep.
And then there's the section that says, listen, I don't have $38,000 to come out of pocket for this $400,000 house. I need to have some savings here. Just show me properties that's going to pay you your commission, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But again,
I need 3% closing costs.
I still think that this is going to be a situation where there will be another lawsuit that is going to say something along the lines that, hey, the way that the buyer broker agreements is set up is it is going to circumvent.
It's steering anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the direction of the buyer.
That's their argument. But you're right. It's at the direction of the buyer. Hey, I don't want to see any houses.
I'm not telling not to see
not
anything. Because an agent, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't see any of these. At this point, you're telling me
what you want to see.
What you want to see.
Yep.
Okay. I can't say anything. That's my boss just told me only show him this. So that's what I'm doing. What my boss told me to do. Because when you have a client, they're the boss.
That's right.
So, I don't know how, because that's at their direction. Like if I was to direct my attorney or my financial advisor to do something and they did it for me, they're doing what they were supposed to do.
Exactly.
So,
but I'm sure on some level, someone is going to try to say that no, this just circumvents the system by saying only show me houses that the seller is paying my commission.
Homeowners are going to get screwed. And I'll tell you why, because you remember how I just told you all that closing costs that you would have to pay? That's going to put a lot of people out of the market, man. A lot. So we're going to end up going into a buyer's market, even with lower inventory, but it's going to be a perpetual buyer's market.
Yeah.
I don't see it not ever going back to a seller's market again. Which kind of sucks, because I don't see real estate as an investment. You know, when you buy, if you're a buyer and you buy a house and you're a homeowner, you expect your home values to appreciate over time. Well, how does that appreciate over time? How does a home appreciate over time?
Yeah, you got to keep selling. Houses around you have to keep selling.
Houses around you in your neighborhood have to keep selling for more and more money, right? But what if now most, or half the buyers now can't afford to come out of pocket that large amount of money? So what's going to happen to certain homes? They're just going to sit. It's going to almost be like, it's almost going to be like the Great Recession in a sense, I think. I think it's going to go that far where you're going to have a lot of homes that's been sitting on the market for a long, long time. And we don't have the same thing problems with the lending problem. Still going to have plenty of money to be lent out, but you're going to have a lot of buyers that just can't pay for everything. And so they're just going to have to wait a little bit longer in order to do this. Or they're going to have to try to come to the listing agents themselves. And the listing agents, some of them, if they have their house on the market for a while, they'll write the offer for them. They're like, shit, I just need to get this closed so I can get paid and move on, you know. So that's probably what's going to happen, but I think it's going to end up being a more buyer's market for a longer period of time from now on. But a lot of home sellers, I think, and this is speculation, are going to be losing a lot of value in their homes. But maybe that was the design of...
Yeah, to make housing more affordable.
Yeah, but I think that's the way it's going to do it, is if you take a lot of real estate-related folks in the industry out, then that's what's going to happen. You know, it's just going to have less people trying to sell. And I think that there's also going to be a compounding effect if more real estate agents leave, because that's what's going to end up happening, right? A lot of real estate agents end up leaving the industry, you think?
Well, you know, ironically, you brought this up.
I keep
this
speculating
point.
Everything. Yeah. So,
well, ironically, you brought this up at this point, you know, and just about 3 or 4 days ago, RE/MAX had reported their quarterly earnings, and you know, it wasn't good at all.
So they're not RE/MAX or RE/MIN?
Yeah.
RE/MINIMUM? So,
RE/MAX is experiencing a challenging period marked by revenue decline and a decreasing agent count, particularly in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S. and Canada, it lost over 1,500 agents during the first quarter of 2024.
Hmm.
Now, we talked a few months ago about their end-of-year numbers for 23, and both them and eXp both took losses on agents. So to answer your question, yes, you're going to see more and more real estate agents exit the business. It's going to become too complicated for some people.
Yeah. It just sounds like more of a paperwork drill to me.
Yeah. To some people, though, this is going to be that thing, that straw that breaks the camel's back.
Paperwork?
Not just the paperwork of it all. you know, there's a lot more negotiations that have to happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot more strategy that has to happen in, you know, when you're working both sides of the transaction. There's a lot more explaining, a lot more education that has to happen if you're working with a first-time homebuyer, first-time seller. You know, and I just think that there's a lot of buyer agents or real estate agents in general that are just going to be like, nah, it's just too convoluted at this point. I don't want
to
do
9 to 5. This is too damn crazy.
And that's exactly what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of them are going to be like, hey, this is just getting crazy. It's getting too complicated. You know, and there is still a certain number of real estate agents that, you know, because real estate is one of those businesses that, you know, you could be like 70, 80 years old and still do real estate deals.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But at some point you say, all right, enough is enough. I'm done. Like, yeah. this is that thing, that final thing. And I'm done with it. I'm no longer going to do this business. It's just getting crazy. But I do, earlier you made mention, like, hey, do you think we could see like a bunch of consolidation in real estate companies? You know, REMAX is adjusted EBITDA, EBITDA. It's the indication of profitability fell by 13.4% after their quarterly earnings. So during their quarterly earnings. So it's starting to, the signal is starting to say that this is for the stock people out there who follow the EBITDAs of companies, they'll start to say, well, like, this doesn't look like it's going to be that profitable. So I'm going to pull any money I have invested in that stock, or I'm going to not invest in that stock.
I wonder how the other compounding effects are going to have with this, with a lot of agents leaving. Because, look, agent is kind of like your super hub, if you will. So if you're a contractor, hell, if you're an ADT guy that sells home alarms or something of that, a lender, or there's a lot of different people associated with it who woo real estate agents and say, hey, I want to be your number one recommendation and stuff. And I'm starting to see some contractors / handymen like, hey, man, you got anything? You got any work? You know, have you been seeing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lenders are kind of like coming out of nowhere like, what? Hey, Robert, what are you doing? You know, and we've had that always before. Lenders would always approach us and stuff like that. Going to open house, giving you candy bars and stuff like they have a white van outside. No, yeah. Just kidding.
No.
But
yeah, you got the brownie guy who comes to the open houses and gives out brownies and that. So, I mean, there's going to be things like that. And that's been part of it.
I'm just wondering if there's going to be a consolidation of different functions that relates to the real estate industry, title companies, everything.
I don't know, because I mean, that brings up a whole nother topic of conversation.
Right,
because
yeah. I'm just curious, know, how this will all play out.
Because, you know, let's be honest, most of the biggest names that are in real estate also own or have some type of affiliation, joint venture type affiliation with some mortgage company.
Yeah, or some title company or attorney's office or something.
And so then, you know, in these lawsuits that are going on, are we going to potentially see a lawsuit that says that, hey, you know, Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services of America steered us into using this lender over here?
Because it was they own a lending institution too.
Yeah, most of them all own some type of lending institution
or title companies, even too.
Even builders, you know, Ryan Holmes, NVR.
Yeah.
You know, they pretty much make it to where you have to use NVR in order to buy one of their homes. So if that's not steering, I don't know what steering is.
Well, I mean, Zillow. Let's talk about Zillow, right? Zillow Home Loans.
Mm-hmm.
Zillow's got their own agents now, I guess. Mm-hmm. They have their own brokerages
now. In
some
mortgages, yeah.
Yep. And I guess they have their own titling companies, too, that does the processing there. So if that's a case where there's a lawsuit that says the compiling business, like the layering of business upon one transaction.
Well, that's been Zillow's business model. That's what they're working towards. They're literally working towards streamlining the real estate process. However, lawsuits are, you know, a bounty about people trying to streamline business, because sometimes what you think is streamlined to others is steering. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're steering them right in, down this path,
yeah,
right into this that you want them to do. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see what how it all takes fold.
I mean, if that's the case, then you might as well say it with cars, too, like Ford Credit. You know, I think
absolutely.
Yeah, you can't buy a car then use their, you know, lending, you know, yeah, supply of money, whatever that is.
And that's the whole part of it is they offer, they call it an incentive.
Yeah.
Ryan Holmes says it's an incentive. You get incentives if you use NVR.
Yeah.
They all say you get some type of incentive.
Well, the big incentive is if, since they own a piece or all of that mortgage company, that means for 30 years, you get to pay them interest.
They get to sell that house three times.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I guess that's remains to be seen. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big thing here, some of the big points that people pointed out, you know, from just online and different things were that, you know, some of the things that Home Services of America has allegedly done may have been, may have cost their clients more in the long run, right? And then, you know, as I get to speculate myself, you know, I think about the number of transactions that are done in an area, and then I start to think to myself, well, if they would go to this level of doing the things that they've done, would they go to the level of maybe even conspiring to say, hey, if you're a Berkshire agent, you need to try to sell to another Berkshire agent?
Oh, like say they have a listing coming up in a very tight market, so to speak, and they say before the listing goes live, you put it out in your firm and say, hey, let's go ahead and get this sold to one of our buyers here within the firm.
Yeah, or hey,
which
you
is
know,
like pocket listings, and we have little rules against that with the MLS.
Yeah, or even you know, to
speculating,
a certain,
allegedly.
Yeah, we're speculating here, but to a certain extent, you could build a culture of saying, "Hey, we take care of our own agents first, right? Yeah. So you know, if X agent sent an offer and Y agent sent an offer and I'm looking at them like, oh, Y agents with Berkshire. I don't know Y agent personally because there's so many agents. But, yeah, I mean, he's with us, so he's good.
Yeah, like, he's part of the club.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you know, we got two
highly
offers.
Highly recommend this one.
This one here with, you know, some company that I haven't really heard of. But, you know, this guy over here, he's with us. I looked at his numbers. He looks like he's doing, you know, good business, good numbers. And, you know, I feel more confident that he's going to get this to the closing table.
We have better training. We're better agents. We have a big national brand. Somehow, some way, just whatever the buffer is.
And we cater to the more luxury side of real estate. So, you know, this is a well-qualified buyer. You know, I'm not really necessarily sure about this person. You know, they're getting their pre-approvals with some online lender, you know.
Some Loan Depot place or something. Yeah. Sorry, you know, Loan Depot, not picking on you.
This buyer right here is with a local branch, Town Bank. I know you heard of them, right? Yeah. They're with Town.
Yeah. Very high end. You ever seen Town Banks? They look like they got pillars and stuff when you walk in.
Yeah.
They look like marble and stuff.
So, yeah. I mean, speculating, could they be doing this behind the scenes?
It's possible.
Is this something that, you know, I mean, if they're going to do all the things that's been alleged over here, does it not make you wonder?
Other things?
About what else might be going on?
I mean, yeah. I mean, pie in the sky stuff. We can speculate all we want. We don't know for sure, of course, but it's fun to pretend. All right. Well, that's all I got, man.
Yeah. Hey,
all right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. If you like this video, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. And if you're feeling like getting some gourmet coffee, check out closercoffeeco.com. With that, thanks for watching. See you soon.